Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I have heard on several occasions, he's asked the question and basically goes, no, I don't know about that. He doesn't like, well, try to pose an answer as if he knows. No, I don't know about that. But he would say, and he would be able to give you something that is fulfilling to your necessity. And part of it would be, you see, you don't have to be a know-it-all. You shouldn't be lazy. If you don't know because you're lazy, you don't read, you never learn a sloka or anything like that, that's a defect. That's an anartha. Laziness to acquire what has been given. But at the same time, if you want to know everything that there is, that's another anartha, you see. And ultimately, you'll be frustrated in that. One devotee wrote me recently, and he was saying he was confused. He had read some other Vaishnava preaching newsletters, and he got confused. And he asked me for some direction. So I had talked to this person several times before about this kind of a thing. He mentioned, yes, I've seen the different arguments. The Sahajis, they have good arguments. You have good arguments. And the Paramparas, and then, but then there's this and that. And he just gets all confused. So I asked, he asked me some, like, help. I'm confused. So I said, okay, I'll give you some answer from my own experience. I said, I can't figure out any of these things. I don't know who the Sahajiyas are. I can't figure out all these people. It's so complicated. I don't know the defects of all these books that they've written. I don't have a mind for all that. I simply believe what my guru told me. That's all. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, these are the 14 Sahajiya Sampradayas, and anything they produce should be rejected like stool. And that was confirmed by Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Puri Maharaj, and a host of other people. I believe that. I don't know. At the same time, you know Krishna is God? I don't think so. You believe it. You have faith. Your faith, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know. Krishna is unknowable. You can't know him. That's just it. This is where the scientists are doomed forever. They want to know everything. No faith. They just want to know empirical knowledge. They just want that knowledge. But he cannot be known. He's beyond knowledge. But you can feel him. You can feel the confidence of his existence, of God's existence, through faith. That is more powerful than knowledge. So I was trying to explain to this devotee that, yeah, Sahajiyas might twist the words and show all kinds of things, how they're connected with the trunk of the tree and how their sampradaya goes and all this. I just was simply word jugglery. Because greater men than me, 1,000 times over, has rejected them. And I can see these men are great. These acharyas are great. I can see from their knowledge, their life, and their kindness to help the world. Far exceeds these sahajiyas are nothing. They're like fleas on a dog's back. Not even. They're just along for the ride. Nothing to contribute, simply biting. Huh? But our acharyas have sacrificed sometimes their whole life, like Bhakti Siddhanta. He was sacrificing his life to serve Krishna from practically his birth, throughout his life. And many other Vaishnavas, and coming in contact with their Guru Maharaj, and coming forward and serving. Our Prabhupada leaving, going to America when he's 70 years old. I mean, I'm only not even 60 yet. I don't even go somewhere without at least Kunjabihari with me. I don't go anywhere alone anymore. Why should I go anywhere alone? You get old, anything can happen. Huh? But he got on a boat alone. It means there was other people, but not devotees, no friend, no well-wisher, no assistant. Alone. What a sacrifice. What a risk. A dangerous step. Understand? So they've captured my heart. And what they say, that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me. We're not of the group that tries to outdo our guru. We have to do one better than our guru. We're not like that. That's the Mayavadis. They try to do one better than their guru. Ultimately, every Mayavadi rejects his guru. At least, we're all equal. The disciple, Guru Dev, same thing. So I was telling this devotee, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Without the proper faith, you cannot really make progress in Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, you do become confused. You do become bewildered. If not now, then tomorrow. There are just too many things to digest. Mother Yasoda, then faith, that's for us. Faith goes beyond faith, it becomes love. Don't try to imitate that. You believe it all because you love Krishna. That is Sahajiyism. Stick to faith in this life. In the spiritual world, Shraddha is in a different way. Shraddha is Radharani. Shraddha is everywhere in the form of prema. Krishna prema, love of Krishna. Well, in the Leela of Krishna, when Mother Yasoda looked into the mouth of Krishna, he gave her some knowledge of who he was. And not only was it like incomprehensible, means couldn't understand, that in the mouth of her son, the sun and the moon and all the universes were flying around inside his mouth. Not only was it incomprehensible, means that not that's all. She couldn't even speak. It spoiled the Leela also. That great knowledge spoils the mood of her natural love for Krishna. Then immediately Yogamaya arrives, the energy of Yogamaya, and just like flash covers Mother Yasoda, and then in her mind she goes, anyway, don't eat mud again, and she punishes Krishna. What if she thought, my God, this guy, I'm going to point my finger, he'll bite that finger right off. He's Bhagavan, he's Vishwarup, he's Narayan, he's God, he's Allah. Great, he's great. Then she'll go down shaking on the knees. So Yogamaya just covers that knowledge. So that's called, we call that divine ignorance. But there are people, they try to play that in this world. No, I don't know anything, Hare Krishna, I just love Krishna. You're nonsense. You learned. Krishna himself spoke Bhagavad Gita. His devotees wrote these things. Don't be lazy to learn about Krishna. At the same time, don't think and don't get on the path to become a know-it-all. Then you miss the real flow. All right, so then he says, all right, to offer prayers to the Lord, one should first offer prayers to his devotees and associates. In the first verse, I have invoked the general benediction, but in the second verse, I have prayed to the Lord in a particular form. Then he gives the verse, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personalities of Godhead, who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and the moon, have arisen over the eastern horizon of Godadesh, West Bengal, being compassionate for the fallen state of the world. The appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda has surcharged the world with happiness. As the sun and the moon drive away darkness by their appearance and reveal the nature of things, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of the living beings' ignorance and enlighten them with knowledge of the absolute truth. These two, the sun and the moon, are very kind to people of the world. Thus, for the good fortune of all, they have appeared on the horizon of Bengal. Now I'll just read part of a purport by Srila Prabhupada. Are we all still with it here? The celebrated ancient capital of the Sena dynasty, which was known as Godadesh, was situated in what is now the modern district of Malda. Later this capital was transferred to the ninth or central island on the western side of the Ganges at Navadvip, which is now known as Mayapur, and was then called Godapur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared there, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu came there and joined him from the district of Birbhum. Birbhum is the district. They appeared on the horizon of Godadesh to spread the science of Krishna consciousness, and it is predicted that as the sun and the moon gradually move west, the movement they began 500 years ago will come to the western world by their mercy. That's the prediction. That the movement they started in Bengal, like the sun and everything, comes here in the east and goes west. So it came in the east and it will go west. So we took that analogy a little farther. that what goes west comes back east. Right? So Prabhupada went to the west, and he started Krishna consciousness movement there. And after some years, west came back to east, like the sun also comes back to east. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also predicted that. Hmm? Somewhere it is told Nityananda Prabhu, or someone has told the Prithiviti Achyata Nagaradi Gram, in every town and village it will be known, or Mahaprabhu himself told like that, and others confirmed that. Bhaktivinoda also told 100 years ago that Vaishnavas from countries west of India, they will come and join with the devotees in Bengal, glorifying Mahaprabhu in the names of Krishna and Sankirtan. 100 years ago, so how they could know that? Just like we are in the process of opening and building an ashram over on the coast in Mulki. We're in full swing construction over there, whole cement, rocks piled all over the place. Full construction is going on. So we know there's some devotees over here. Some devotees are going to come. So we don't have to be mystical to know, oh, yes, Guru Maharaj can see some devotees are going to come. Like Bhaktivinoda, he's seeing. Yeah, he's seeing based on his faith. He knows that where we take the holy name of Krishna with sincerity, that is the closest thing to all these people, all these living entities. We don't expect lots of them to join. They're preoccupied with snake worship, ghost worship. My gosh, you know, they worship everything over there that moves, doesn't move. Everything but the ocean. Nobody worships the ocean. But everything else they worship. But immediately, some people came forward. You can see, oh, this boy, this man, they have some potential. They are devotees. So it's not that Westerners are a different kind of Atma. There's not a Russian Atma and an American Atma, a Mexican Atma, or something like that. But like once some Goswamis in Vrindavan, they came to say, Swami, when you're from Western countries, you know preaching there, you know everything there. I said, well, I know something. What do you need? He said, well, when the devotee gets bhav in Western country, is it different than India? That's like heat. You know, it's heat is heat. Once it crosses 100 degrees, it's unbearable wherever you are. India, North India, South India, Vermont, Switzerland. If it gets to be 100 degrees, it's terrible. Heat is heat. So I said, no, it's... They were a little confused. There's some Goswamis in Vrindavan that maybe it's different. No. People may look different. Their speech may be different. I mean, if a Bengali preacher comes here, Pakka Bengali preacher, well, look at him like, what's he saying? What a Krishna... Give us some Bengali. Well, look how they move their mouth. Hore. They say everything in a particular way. And you South Indians, you have an accent. Americans have an accent. French have an accent. Everybody's got an accent. It isn't like the Bengali accent. That's the one you should learn. You see this sometimes Western devotees. Hore. They try to put the Bengali accent. There's no, like, necessarily, there's no Bengali accent. If you heard Bengali from 500 years ago, a Bengali man in Calcutta can't understand it today. Language just goes changing all the time. Ups and downs. Intonation, it's called. Although we generally say, Bengali is Mahaprabhu's language. And Srila Puri Maharaj used to say, if you don't learn Bengali, then how you'll address Mahaprabhu when you go to... When you go up, how you address. So he used to just give some light. You should learn. But actually, it is automatic. If you go to Gaur Lila, you'll automatically speak Bengali, just like you'll automatically speak, not Hindi, nay, Brajabasi. Krishna speaks a language called Brajabas. Nobody even knows really what it is. There's some Brajabasi. It's like the Hindi version of Tulu or something. But there is one language in Vrindavan, Brajabas. Ultimately, that's the language of the heart, the language of the soul, the language of love, the language of rasa. And there it all flows automatic. Not that You'll be given a handbook, like when you join the army, you have to learn all these things, and then you can perform. No. What you have to learn is the surrender and the faith. Shraddha and Saranagati. That's it. Those are the two things. It doesn't matter if you're very learned or not very learned, or somewhere in the middle, a good preacher, you don't preach at all, a good singer, a non-singer, all those things. You grow good, like Babaji grows a great garden. Nandakishore couldn't grow cactus, could you? Terrible gardener. Huh? If he grows a garden, he won't pick the vegetables from it. I've seen him grow a garden and then go to the market. That is not the criterion of, you know, that you know computers. You don't. All these things are just service-oriented activities, what we do in this world with this energy, offering it to Krishna. But that we should all have faith, that's across the board. That we should all be Saranagata Bhaktas means surrender. We're not here for our own. You'll get so much out of Krishna consciousness. There comes a time when you almost feel like, am I being greedy? I mean, Krishna has given me so much. He's given me a wonderful place to be. He's given me association of devotees. He gives me too much prasadam. So much. And you'll be hard to find, oh, I don't get. You'll be hard to show, I don't get. Now, if you're not getting, and I'm not talking about money in the bank and those things, that doesn't solace your soul. That gives you some mental peace as long as the money's in the bank. Then it starts coming out, you lose the peace again. That's not what I'm talking about. All right, so these two things are required. Faith and surrender, that's everything. Our movement, what's called Gaudiya Mutt movement, Gaudiya Sampradaya, is based on that. Another man, one scholar, he noted, those people, they thrive behind faith and emotion. Feeling. Faith and feeling. Okay, that's all right. But there cannot be, this surrender must be there. It's actually faith and surrender. That is the religion of Mahaprabhu. Whether we get the emotion or not, that's not the main issue. You don't say to Krishna, I have very much faith, I'm fully surrendered, now please give me the bhav. Oh, I didn't get the bob. Well, you know, I'm going to take back a little of that surrender and just, you know, keep my own thing going. No, that's not the issue. But this man said, at least emotion is there, feeling, bhava. It's an important thing in Gaudiya Vaishnava. Then he said, the true followers of Mahaprabhu, he said, they go for jnana and yoga. Yoga meaning tantra. Just like we have panchatattva. There's another Sahajiya group based off this idea called Panchashaka. Five friends of Mahaprabhu. But they were all bogus. They were all rejected by Mahaprabhu in his time and afterwards. But they just tried to make it a play. And they're what? Orisons, all of them. They're all orisons. It actually became a state competition. Bengal had the Panchatattva. The orisons made the Panchashaka. Panchashakas go for knowledge and tantra. Actually, it's a nasty thing. They go. They're a nasty religion, actually. They're nothing similar to Mahaprabhu, actually. But they say knowledge and power. Tantra means ultimately some power, envisioning the future, all these type of things. Well, this is rejected. Well, are you having dreams of the future? You increase your chanting, those dreams will go away. Oh, no, but I'm getting future. Why do you want to know future? Chant Hare Krishna. One devotee used to say something like, I forget exactly, he said, Prabhupada, or Swamiji at that time, he said, Prabhupada, when I'm chanting Krishna, I get a blue light. Now, if you told any other guy comes up, oh, very good, very nice, you're getting blue light. Krishna's coming soon. Huh? Prabhupada, you keep chanting, that will go away. So it's humorous, but there's a deep meaning there also. Don't want anything. Oh, I'm getting Krishna. Don't, he'll also go away, that's sure. He doesn't stay anywhere long. Just keep on chanting his name. If you give up his name, if Krishna comes and gives you darshan, and you give up Krishna's name, you'll be lost because he'll go away. So even when you have Krishna darshan, you never give up the name of Krishna. That's always with you. Your faith is always with you, but Krishna, he leaves anybody, anytime. That's why he's called a debauch. He's a crook, like a snake. He goes this way and that way. He tells lies. You can't believe what he says. You don't put your faith in Krishna. Put your faith in Krishna Nam. That will never cheat you. Then it should be mentioned also that where Nityananda Prabhu was born, we should learn these things. Huh? It's like when you write a letter, don't misspell Krishna's name. Don't misspell the name Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. You should know our acharyas, main acharyas, when they were born, where they were born. Because these things are Krishna related. And they're within our eyesight and are easily we can catch and know. And gradually you begin to see similarities. Like Giri Maharaj dawned on him that now we open Kaliya Mardana Krishna Ashram, right? And you know the story how previously this was owned by the Madhva Sampradaya. But because Madhva Sampradaya is going down, they had to sell off their properties. And deity lost the property. So we got the property back. So we called the ashram Kaliya Mardana Krishna Ashram. And there was a lake on the property, which was totally nasty and poison. And we didn't even think about these things at the time. We're just pushing like in full marathon construction mode. 65 trucks came dumping, filled up that stinking, I mean it stunk, it was dirty, it was poisonous. And that's right where we're building a hall, a kirtan hall. But and then this was now named Kaliya Mardana Krishna. Kaliya lived in this place. Krishna came. Then Giri Maharaj noted, he says, oh, your appearance day is also on the day that Krishna chastised Kaliya. So I thought, oh, that's nice. I thought, oh, that's nice. I just felt good about that. That's nice. So I thought, sure, deity of Kaliya Mardana Krishna will come dancing on the head. It will go. It will be successful. That's nice. So, but to another person, they go, hey, you know how many people got born on that day? Thousands. But the disciples say, yeah. But did they build a Kaliya Mardana Krishna ashram? Huh? That's a vision only disciples can have. We see Bhaktivinoda sent the first book of Krishna consciousness in English to some universities in Europe and America. The famous one, McGill University, that was in Canada. 1896. Huh? And more or less he prophesizes in there that this Mahaprabhu's mission will go over the world. No, yes. And our Prabhupada, he's born on that year. Our Guru Maharaj is born in 1896. But so were millions of other people. But they didn't do anything in connection to Bhaktivinoda and that book in Mahaprabhu. You follow? And he used to mention it. Just it's not a false pride. When you see the mercy of your guru, just to boast about it in some false way is not good. But to recognize that and see the connection, it is not false pride. Prabhupada himself used to point that out. Bhaktivinoda did this on this year, and that was the year of my birth. And then 70 years later, he came on a boat to fulfill that. So lots of people were born everywhere on every day, Janmashtami day. Mata Maharaj, I think, was born on Gaur Purnima or the day before Gaur Purnima. Somebody's born on Radhastami. Somebody born. There have been people born everywhere. Right? When were you born? He was born on some special day, right? Janmashtami, right? Well, that's good. And then he literally comes in the temple, lives in the ashram. Can't even read and write, but he knows Krishna. Not good. Learn reading and writing. So, for a devotee, we say, yeah, that's right. That's something special. But on Janmashtami, 1,000 kids got born all over the world. And they may never come in any way to Krishna. So there's nothing special. It's just another day for them. Do you understand? So, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he's born in a village called Ekachakra. Ekachakra. And our Gornitai deities, Giri Maharaj brought them, I believe, from Ekachakra initially. They come from that village. So our Nityananda Prabhu here, the only Nityananda Prabhu we have here, we have few Gaurangas, huh? But Nityananda Prabhu came from Ekachakra. And his mother's name was Padmavati. His father's name is Hadai Pandit. Well, it's mentioned here that before the Lord inaugurates the congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all religion, The Lord incarnates with his associates. On the order of the Lord, all the associates took birth in human society. There were hundreds, even thousands of them in different places. I mentioned Advaitacharya's appearance. So Advaitacharya, he is the one. It's preordained by the will of the Lord that Krishna is coming as Mahaprabhu. Okay, then the Leela and the drama begins. Advaitacharya comes first amongst some of the elders. Jagannath Mishra, Mother Sachi, who will be the parents of Mahaprabhu, they come. Haridas Thakur, he's very older also. He comes early. They come first, like I told, 40 years and such before they come. And Advaitacharya, he's considered to be the incarnation or to be the combined form of Vishnu and Shiva, both. Sadashiva, Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. Sadashiva, Mahavishnu. He's the two in one. So he comes and he sees the whole degraded scene in Kali Yuga, the way people are, and particularly there in Navadvip. It is so degraded. And from reading Chaitanya Bhagavat at different times, the author lets you know how degraded it was. You think, 500 years ago, they're very pious. They're so degraded. But in a different way. I mean, there were drunkards, plenty, boozers, womanizers. All nonsense was going on there. But those who were religious, they were more nonsense. I mean, Jagai and Madai, they were fallen Brahmins, they were boozers, somebody else was a womanizer, and there was prostitution, and all nonsense things were going on. But those people were just in Maya. The people who were posing to be religious, they were 10 times worse. They were moral in a certain sense. But then they would do things like they would perform the marriages of a cat and a dog. And they would do a homa and throw gold and all this stuff just like at a real marriage. They were marriage cat and dog. And when a humans would come by, you know, a humans, they would say, just see it as Lakshmi Narayan. And they would praise a human as if the human was God. They would praise the lady as she's a Lakshmi and the man as he's a Narayan. And they worshipped everything and anything except the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they used to ridicule and make fun of and make joke on the Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnavas lived in a social fear, of society. Fear in the sense that they were kept down. There were Vaishnavas, Srivas Pandit, Advaitacharya was there, great Vaishnavas like Madhavendra Puri came in that time in that part of India. He became the guru of Advaitacharya, of Haridas Thakur, of Srivas Pandit, of Jagannath Mishra, and many other of Mahaprabhu's older associates who came first. They all became the disciples of Madhavendra Puri. But they were in a very pressed down group. Only after Mahaprabhu that the group came up. And many of his devotees also were they didn't just come as Vaishnavas. They were from non-Vaishnava families. And they were playing rascal also in different ways. That was their pastime. They were giving wrong interpretation of Srimad Bhagavatam and just different things like that they were doing. Then Mahaprabhu gradually performed his leela of saving his devotees and converting them. You see, that's the leela.